Good evening, I'd like to call the city council meeting February 10th, 2014. First thing we get called.
Stephen Jones, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Next thing on item agenda 2.0, pledge allegiance.
Please stand, place your flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic which we stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
Before we go to item 3.0, good evening to everybody. Just to let you know, as you can see, we got three individuals out tonight. Nancy and Matt are both ill. And Bo, of course, has definitely been ill, but he's at home doing very well. Might say a prayer for him, we appreciate it, but he is at home and he's doing fine after his surgery. I will try to walk us through this meeting the best I can tonight. So if you have any questions, we'll get to your questions as soon as we can. Alright? Right now, 3.0, the item agenda, there's nothing, no special presentations tonight, so we're going to go to 4.0. Being 4.1, special council meeting on January 2014, excuse me. We have approval for the minutes. Council had time to look over the minutes. We have a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes January 23rd, 2014.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, so Mike Wheeler. Okay. Item 4.2, regular council meeting January 27th, 2014. Does the council have time to review the minutes? A motion?
Motion to approve the minutes of the meeting January 27th, 2014.
We have a second.
Second.
So Steve Jones is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to 5.0, council reports request. Reports on meetings to attend. The mayor's out this evening, so this time there's nothing to report on. We'll go to 6.0. 6.1 will be citizens' comments. Do we have any comments from the citizens this evening?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Gross, raise his hand first. Mr. Pope. I know your name, Mr. Gross, but we tell everybody else.
Yeah, my name is Paul Gross. I live at 111 East Forest Avenue.
You just
Okay. Recently, I filed a grievance with the city that possibly talked about unlawful actions or unethical behavior by the city administrator. And I received a letter back from the mayor saying that there is no grievance policy for citizens to express their concerns or grievances with the city or council. And so I filed a public information request. And just make sure we weren't playing semantics over grievances versus complaints. And that public information request basically said I wanted any and all ordinances, procedures, policies, processes, methods, practices, course of actions, manners, or means for citizens to file complaints, grievances, criticism, protests, objections, accusations, gripes, injustices, wrongdoings, ill-treatment, infringements, or unfair actions in reference to a city employee in Shore Acres. The response that I got back from the city administrator was basically one item, and basically this is a part 504 section, and it's basically a federal mandate for protection of handicapped. Another one was, I think, racial profiling bias. But by policy, there is no other means for a citizen to file a grievance about a city employee of wrongdoing. I have an issue with that, especially as in a police department, if I get pulled over, if one of my family gets pulled over, you or one of your family gets pulled over, and something happens, Rodney King incident, as you know, a large event, or even a small event, there is no procedure for me by policy of city council to come to you and complain about that. If a city employee comes to my home and damages my property, if he steals my property, there is no avenue as a citizen in this city to go to government and say, I have an issue. One of our First Amendments is that I have a right to redress my grievances to government. You are government. Therefore, I'm asking City Council to direct David Stoll and the head of each department to come up with policies and procedures to handle those type of complaints. It's something that's incumbent upon the city to do to help the citizens. That's all I have to say on that. Thank you.
Anybody else wants to address the council?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, please.
Phil Yanino, 214 to 210 Fairfield Street. I want to talk a little bit about our pets in the neighborhood and the regulations that we have and don't have and what we're doing to control our neighbors that have pets and are not registered and we know nothing about it. Those new people that come into our neighborhood, we don't ask them any questions about pets. Do you have any or whatever? We take their money for their water deposit, but at that point, I would think we have a real good opportunity with a very simple form to have them fill out. Do you have a pet? What kind of pet do you have? How old is the pet? How big is the pet? Is he a loving pet? Does he like people and kids? Is he a mean pet? Is he a guard dog? Whatever. Simple questions, just so we know, and you know, and our police department know, that we have these conditions available. I don't know whether you all heard about my little incident over the weekend, last Monday, but my dog was chewed up quite heavily by a very vicious shepherd dog, lives in our neighborhood. Everybody, the people around him know this dog is vicious because the owner has told us the dog is vicious. The dog got out accidentally, but he got out. And meanwhile, I'm walking eastbound on Fairfield, heading towards Miramar, because Holly loves to walk through there. And she heard Callie barking, which is Mary Becker's, Casey rather, dog, the black dog. And he barks in a special way when Holly comes by as a greeting. So we went to visit. In the meanwhile, about halfway through, I'm on Mrs. Kerr's property at this time. Side of my eye, I see this monster coming at us full speed ahead. Well, I had all to do to try to get my dog under control, pick her up if I could, and I had her about halfway. The long of the story was, after I'm kicking at him and beating him with I had the leash in my hand. That's the only weapon I had, and I had the cord in his hand, and I'm trying to get him away. He did get her on the back end and tore her to pieces. She's still in the vets right now, and I don't know how much the end result is going to cost, but that's my responsibility to take care of the dog. The dog, we find out, is non-vaccinated for his rabies and is in a compound right now. Our police department took a report from me, went to their house, found out that he was not up on his date on his rabies, and then, of course, he's in the report right now, and he'll be out Thursday, I think, is the 10-day thing. But the main thing is that's history now. My dog is hurt. We go to A&M tomorrow to try to see what else they can do because she's that serious. If we have a simple policy to know about these kind of dogs coming into our neighborhood that we don't know now, it would be real, real easy to do. A very simple form, and I'd be happy to provide one or design one for you for your approval if you want, and you can go over it and add and subtract anything you'd like. But it would be a valuable piece of information for everybody to have. Across the street from me right now is a new rancher. They have two pit bulls. They're confined in a house, in cages. They come out at night, they walk them on a leash, they do their business, they go right back in. That's about all I ever see of them. To the right of me, on the west side of my property, is another home. 6-foot cyclone, all the way around, not cyclones, a cedar fence, all the way around. Two pit bulls. No offense, they haven't been out, they're not bothering me. But, you know, things happen. And how do we know about these animals? And the question is, we probably don't know about these animals. So we need to have some kind of a simple form, I think, that our people in this office right here, when these new folks come in, well, we ought to put something in a newsletter that if your dog is not registered with our program, come to City Hall, whatever, 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 and let's get it on. Let's know about all the animals in here. Not only the good people that pay attention to their pets and walk them on leashes, pick up after them, and abide by the laws. We don't need, and I don't need no more of Harvey's problems. And I hate to think that I'm going to have to go to a special class to be certified to carry a weapon, because I fear now if I ever leave my house and go down there again, and that dog or another dog like it approaches me, that I would have some kind of a reasonable way to balance the act of what's going to happen. And I don't want that to happen. And the most serious thing about it is, you know, every morning I wake up, and when I was taking Harley to the vet and crossing that bridge there by Bayport, the overpass, it struck me in my mind. Mary Beckers lives right there, two doors down from me, across the street from this house. She's got a granddaughter that's 6 years old that she minds and caters to for her daughter occasionally.
Yes,
this girl, little babe, 6 years old, when she sees Harley, she runs out to the street. And Harley greets her, and she greets Harley. And they hug each other and kiss each other. And I'm thinking, if that Monday morning that this happened, and she came out and done that, can you imagine what might have happened? We wouldn't be standing here worrying about paying vet bills and going to Texas A&M in the morning. We'd probably be mourning this little girl in the coffin or something. We need to know who has the pets, what kind are they, and what about them. A simple, small bio. And it can be done very simply when they come to our office and register new. Like these owners say, I didn't know anything about that. But we're responsible owners. Well, why didn't you vaccinate the dog for those rabies? Well, I didn't have the money. That's not very responsible. That's about it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to?
Yes, I'd like to go a little further on that.
Okay. If you'll come up and state your name.
My name is Mike Marshall. I live at 209 Fairfield. Actually, he's had more than one animal attacked in his yard. A few months before that, there was a pit bull that was loose and evidently got hit. Something happened to it. Killed a cat on his back porch. Dehided it, to make it as nicely as I can put it. I've been through it. A neighbor, a renter that lived behind me, had a boxer. I don't know if they're still living there. I think they moved out this weekend. Been in my yard five or six times. I don't. Two Brittany's that are very, very gentle, very nice, but the boxer doesn't try to hurt. He wants to play, but he's doing property damage when he gets in the yard. So, like I said, I'm just going to agree with Phil and say, you know, we really need to look at the issue. There's some animals running around here that are meaner than most people think.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mitch Cross.
I'm having on this time as well. I'm sorry about your loss. I've worked with police dogs for 10 or 15 years, and understand. There's state law that actually covers all this. One, there's registration, tags, and certificates. That's section 822.037. And it basically says that those dogs have to be registered with the treasurer in the county. And it basically has to list what they are, who they are, that kind of stuff. There's other sections in there, and it permits, or it says, unregistered dogs prohibited from running at large. And basically, an owner or person having control of a dog at least 6 months of age in the county adopted by the subtractor may not allow the dog to run at large unless the dog is registered with the county, that kind of stuff. And there's actually a criminal penalty behind that, and this is enforceable by your police department. And it comes in basically saying that we fail to refuse to register a dog required by this subchapter, that there's a fine not more than $100 or confinement in jail for 30 days or both. So there's tools that we have that we can use to enforce this. I think the city needs to come down with ordinance. I believe they have some ordinances, but the problem is they're not animal control officers. They're not trained in that. You try to grab a vicious dog, you start working with ordinance comp issues. Dogs are very, very dangerous, and they can hurt you. Same thing, I think we've actually funded the Public Works Department. We have funding in 2012, 2013. We're supposed to send them to train. Have they gone to that training? Don't know. What happened to the money? Still don't know. So there's things we need to really look at this for our safety, for our children's safety, for our pet safety. And this includes cats. Dogs and cats cannot have access to a public roadway or a sidewalk without having a leash. Those are state laws. You can add to this the city code, but you can't take away from state law. That's a loan add on there. And also, he is responsible for damages that state laws too. So any medical bills and stuff, you can actually recover that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Stanton.
Well, we do, in fact, have three ordinances about dogs. Number one is every dog is supposed to have a permit. It costs you $4. Mm-hmm. And when you get the permit, you're required to show that the dog has been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So if that particular ordinance is enforced, that'll take care of the problem of rabies. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's not done. I recently paid for my dog, and I asked the question, how many people do this? And it's not very many. So that's one thing. The other one we've got a leash law that says the dog has to be under the person's control. It doesn't say that they have to be on a leash. It has to be under their control. And the third one, we've got another law that says dogs with excessive noise that the owner can be fined. How do I know? I got fined once. So there are some things that we have. We just need to enforce what we have. You know, check every time we see a dog, check and see if they got a collar. If they got a collar, do they have a short record permit on them? If they don't, haul them in, fine them, or whatever the ordinance requires. But we need to look at the ordinance first. But there is an ordinance in effect right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the council at this time? Ms. Wells.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. I just want to address the topic of drainage. It's coming up in several different parts of our city, and council needs help learning about wetlands. I'm happy to do that. I know a lot about them. And we're looking at new houses being built, and we want to make sure that they're not impacting the current homeowners, which I believe could be happening. We haven't heard back from the city administrator or anyone on a couple of issues, so I'll wait and talk about those another time. But drainage is really important. I think everybody understands that. When you're on the waterfront, most of it goes right into the water, but first it's going to go in the neighbor's yard first. So, when people build up on anthills, that water again has to go somewhere, and it's going to go down to the whoever's a little lower. So a new building construction cannot affect a homeowner's drainage. And the city is the entity that is sued, not the homeowner, because you're given permits and whatnot. That's the way I understood it from the attorney. So let's look at drainage as the building process begins and make sure at the end of the building process that it did what it was supposed to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the board? Okay, no, at this time, basically, we'll move on to item number 7.0, administrative reports. 7.1, City Administrator David, and the general activity.
Good evening. our engineering firm that we collected from the qualifications for the coastal erosion project of JRUP. They have asked for a 10-day extension on submitting their proposal. That now is due on February 17th, so we do not yet have a signed agreement or agreement with them for that project, but it's moving forward towards that on the 17th. Our round 2.2 CDBG grant for the water main on Shore Acres. This is the large water line upgrade that will run from water plant number one east to Sunrise and then turn on Sunrise and go to Oakdale. Pre-construction meeting for that is tomorrow, so we're looking forward in the next 30 to 45 days seeing construction start on that project. Next Monday, also on the 17th, field audit work will begin for our annual financial audit. The auditors will be here in our offices for 2 weeks. And the filing for the city election for the mayor and two council positions is open, and we now have three applications for place on the ballot, and those are posted on the city's website as they're received. And that's all I have this evening.
Closing date?
It's February 28th.
Council, any questions, concerns, citizens? Then move on to 7.2. Police Chief Harrison, monthly report.
Good evening, Council. I know you've been provided with the monthly calls for service for the month of January. To go along with that, I'm excited because ever since I've been in this department for 2 years, we relied upon handwritten notes from our dispatch in order to accumulate these numbers from, and sometimes they're kind of subjective to what they mean. Since we've been in the report, I'm able to get a digitized statement every month now on the exact calls that we run, so they're a little bit better classified than just somebody trying. Now they have to fit into a box where before they could just put them out there, but that's exciting to have that. That'll provide us at the end of the year a better idea about the yearly stats as compared to the year before. It will also help me month to month with UCR stats as we begin to report these numbers to the FBI or to the Texas Department of Corrections, who then is a clearinghouse for the FBI. Two Monday nights ago, I was sworn in, and the next morning I got some good phone calls, and I was happy to get. But I got one from T-Close that advised me I had an audit coming up on Friday that I had less than 3 days to prepare for. I wasn't real excited about that. But Dave Stout came out. We spent several hours together. And by the time he left, we was in pretty good shape. The things that needed to be fixed have been fixed. For the most part, there's a few small items out there that I'll continue to work on. But overall, we're in good standing with T-Close, and I'm happy to report that. Also, our racial profiling report is required to be submitted by March 1st. It has been submitted. It's already online at T-Close, and I'll work with Commissioner Stahl. I'm guessing that we give that report to Council in March, so that'll be forthcoming next month.
Okay. Very good. Council, any questions, concerns, citizens? Mr. James?
Any crimes to speak of?
No, sir. I spoke out of turn, I guess, in December with no burglaries or no thefts because we had a couple of those, but there's nothing that stands out. Traffic issues, animal calls. We have several animal calls. We still get, calls when animals are hit in the road. And even though you may not call that a police call, we still get called out. So, those go in the records as animal calls. But, yeah, there's nothing that stands out that it's mostly quality of life problems.
Yes, sir.
Very happy with the limited amount of construction stuff that goes on down here, too. I'm building down here, and I don't think that I've lost three nails in the last 12 months down here. I do appreciate y'all watching out for our construction.
Well, thank you. I know you and I had a conversation several months ago about that very thing, and we are a proactive department. We do ride a lot. It's not like we have a lot of area to ride around in.
Right.
So we get by the construction sites numerous times during the night time, which will obviously be the high time. But I thank you for the comments.
We do appreciate it.
Chief, go ahead,
Mr.
One question for you, Chief. Aggressive dogs. What should a citizen do? I mean, I know the police does not have the capability to go down and capture a dog. But if we have an aggressive dog that's attacking my dog or attacking me, what do you recommend we do?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, to be honest with you. Because, first and foremost, I want you to be safe. You as a person needs to take care of your personal safety. And a lot of times, depending on the size of the dog, you're no match for a dog. You're really not. I've worked with this gentleman. We're trying to get this situation rectified, and we will this week. But you got to take care of yourself. We talked earlier about, you've heard spray water on. Well, I don't know if that always works. We use pepper spray. That doesn't always work. We've tased them. That doesn't always work. But I'm going to be working with Mr. Stahl in the near future, the very near future, to try to, number one, to get our officers better trained on some of these animal control problems. And number two, try to figure out what we're going to do with them when we get them. Because right now we don't have anywhere to put them when we get them.
Okay.
Sometimes.
We have an aggressive dog. Would you recommend that we call 911 and say that dog just attacked my dog or just attacked me?
I think any time you're in fear of your safety, you should call 911 without a doubt.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Have a good evening, sir. We appreciate it. On 7.3, Public Works Director David Sutton's monthly report.
Mr. Sutton's not with us this evening. He is at water plant number 2 with LaPert working on a valve, control valve issue on our surface water. We're on well water right now while they're resolving their issue. but I do have in your packet his written report. The water consumption has dropped. We've had fewer breaks. We have taken the opportunity to install a couple 6-inch valves along Fairfield to allow us to isolate sections of the city with future work. This is something that's done in conjunction with the replacement of the water main on Byway between Choryford Boulevard and Fairfield. one of the things that we have as a historic issue is we don't have adequate valves to isolate portions of our system so that we can limit areas affected with outages. But every month we keep either identifying valves or adding valves that will help us do that in the future. That work was done at night so that we could minimize the impact to our citizens. And we also sent a couple employees to water and wastewater classes. And tomorrow, Mr. Sutton will be attending a session for region for the region, water planning region, to see what opportunities there are for the city of Short Acres to take advantage of the money that's being made available out of the recent bonding that was approved by the voters. That's all I have to report.
Please. Let me ask the council if you don't mind, sir, please. Steve, do you have a question?
Yes. Jared Vicker, 3346 Miramar. This is a repeat of previous questions over the last year concerning water plant number 1. Is it back online, or when is it scheduled? Is a year overdue now? When is it scheduled to go back online?
Water plant number 1 is not online today. It is, as I understand it from the engineers, it is now complete in plumbing and electrical and facilities. It now is a software issue with the SCADA. Trader Engineering was scheduled to have that completed last week. I asked for an update. I've not got that update yet. We literally are within days of turning that plant on. When we do, we'll turn it on at the same pressure that we've been operating at. So you won't necessarily see any impact at your home. And then we'll ramp it up a couple PSI every 2 weeks until we reach our target PSI of 60, which will be 10 pounds of pressure more than we've historically ever run our system at. We do anticipate that that's going to cause some issues as we do it, which is why we're doing it slowly and over time.
So by next meeting, you'll probably tell us that it's back online, you think?
You know, my crystal ball is broken. I would have expected it online months ago, but I'm not in control of that. They are doing liquidated damages. We're getting liquidated damages from the contractors, $200 a day, for the times we don't have it online.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the citizens? All right, we're going to move on to 8.0 business. 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. At this time, the council wants
to make a motion to approve our invoices.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion moved. 8.2. The consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2014-125 creating a Miramar Shoreline Advisory Group, setting compensation, defining the group's purpose and duties. The mayor is out this evening. He was going to go over this. I'm going to do the best I can on it. David, you want to interject there and
sure.
Add anything to it?
Sure. There is a revised draft in your packet tonight. There is only a single change from what council saw 2 weeks ago, and that is the appointment date, bottom of the first page, which was February 10th, been changed to February 24th. This creates an 8-member advisory group to provide input to council and to seek input from the citizens, to provide guidance on the development of the shoreline restoration and improvements. The eight members, 5 are designated by a position. So it's the chairman of the Shore Acres Planning and Zoning Commission or his or her designee, the chairman of the Shore Acres Park and Recreation Advisory Board or his or her designee, the president of the Shore Acres Recreation Association or his or her designee. And if you don't know, the Shore Acres Recreation Association is the leaseholder and operator of the recreation pier along that waterfront. The Commodore of the Houston Yacht Club, or his or her designee, and the president of the Shore Acres Civic Association, or his or her designee. So those stakeholders in the waterfront will be guaranteed a position there. And then there's three residential members that are appointed by council from three geographic areas of the city, one being east of the center line of Westview, one being between that point and the center line of Old 146, and one being west of Old 146. So the three geographic portions of the city. This calls for those appointments to be made on February 24th, which, if the resolution is adopted, gives council the opportunity to solicit and receive applications or to hear from people that are interested in serving on that, so that you have a pool of willing appointees to choose from. The advisory group will elect their own chairman and vice chairman, so they kind of are independent in that regard. This does require to meet a minimum of six times a year. All their meetings are open to the public, and it lays out a couple other just housekeeping details of how that operates.
Thank you, David. Now, this, my understanding, this is exactly what we looked up last time, other than the date, correct?
That's correct.
There's no changes to the change. Is the Mr. Jones, do you have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wheeler?
We spelled out who these first five individuals are. Has anyone contacted these people to find out if they're willing to serve on this?
No,
you've got Planning and Zoning Commission, you've got Parks and Recreation, you've got the Yacht Club, you've got the Rec Association. I mean, all these people have boards and presidents and what have you. You can't just assign somebody that's not willing to.
Well, the thought here is that the city certainly can assign the first two because they're city bodies. And I know that the Yacht Club has expressed an interest in participating in the process.
That's Nancy Edmondson.
Nancy Edmondson is the current Commodore. She also was intimately involved in the creation of this project. So it's very likely, I would expect, that she'd be interested personally in participating. But it gives these stakeholders an opportunity.
Right.
I don't know if we can force anybody to the table. But I would think each one could reach out and find someone that would be willing to do that and represent them. And they do have a vested interest. The Parks and Recreation Miramar is a park,
sure.
So that's park property. The Yacht Club uses Shell Beach significantly, and so they have a vested interest. The Pier Association is interested in keeping access to the boat launch and the fishing and the pier and how that has impacted. So the whole idea was
just looking at the date that this has to be implemented. And just curious if any individuals have been contacted yet. I know we've had some people, I've seen on the Shore Acres website, people that have volunteered to be panel members, and that's good. We need to use that. These other bodies, I just wondered if anybody's been contacted yet.
Yeah, the only one that I haven't heard something from is the Recreation Association.
I tell you, we're going to go ahead and pull our out to them and ask them about this.
Can I add something? I sent two emails volunteering.
Just a minute. Just one second. Let me just finish the section. So, at this point, we're going to address these people with an email, who the designee is going to be and whatnot.
If you pass the resolution, then we'll tell them that they have a seat at the table for this. And
All right. Thank you.
And I would also suggest that if one of the groups just flatly declines to have a representative, they can come back to council and you can make an adjustment, add another citizen or leave it vacant.
Okay. Mr. Victor, I'm sorry.
Yes, I have volunteered to be a member of this advisory group by two emails, and then at a council meeting when I presented the idea of a committee. And that was weeks or months ago now. So I'm just saying we've got more than one person volunteering.
Yes, sir.
What Mr. Stahl mentioned and me. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
I own 9 lots on Miramar, and I'd like to be able to participate, but I don't live on Miramar. Am I going to be considered a resident or just a property owner and not going to be able to participate?
I'd like to own property, you should.
Well, let me clarify. These are the 8 members of the group, and they're basically responsible for setting an agenda and holding the meetings. Everyone is entitled to participate fully in every meeting in the entire project. So,
can I sit on the advisory group as a lot owner?
There is, the way it is structured now, that would be no. If you're not a resident or you're not representing one of these groups, now the representative groups don't have to be residents. So, you know,
if I wanted to go join the yacht club and the park club and all this other stuff, I could actually get on there.
Yes, sir. But I have faith that they'll hear your voice, whether you're sitting on there as a member of the group or not.
Anyone else want to address?
Well, yes, y'all mentioned that there was going
to. I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Y'all mentioned that there was going to be 3 residential members appointed by council. I'd like to know the process that the council is going to go to appoint those members. Sounds like people are just asking to be on, and I recommend some kind of a process so that the whole city knows that it's happening and that everyone has a chance to be a part of it, that we don't just go, oh, here's 3. Okay. Will the council have some kind of a process?
Is it posted on the website, David, or how is that?
Yeah, we can send out our, you know, we do a bulletin, the electronic email, which actually has very good penetration. We have almost 500 people signed up for that.
Back of the water bill is another way.
We could do that as well.
But I would advise that. I mean, because one of the things when you're looking at accountability and transparency is that the whole public knows, not just some of the people. And you get that word out the very best way you can.
Well,
I would appreciate it if we had some kind of a written process that council would be following to recommend the residents.
We can make a recommendation to put it on the internet on back of the water bill this time.
I would just generally say notify the public.
Yes, ma'am. The best way. Anyone else want assistance? Okay. All right. So resolution 2014-125 is on the table. Do we have a motion? You want to make a motion to approve it or disapprove it?
I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution 2014-125. I'm going to read the whole thing. Okay.
So there's been a motion for 2014-125 to be approved.
Second.
You second? I second. Mr. Jones. All those approved, say aye. Motion carries 2014-125.
Yes, this is a point of following the procedure. You are able to make motions the second one.
Well, I don't know for sure or not.
I understand. I just made sure you knew you could.
All right. Next up, item section 8.3. Because of this, tonight we're going to skip this item. We need to have what's the formal way of doing it?
You don't need to do anything. Just as long as you take a vote to adjourn at the end.
Okay. Let's move on to section 8.4, discussion of staff time, financial impact of recent open records request. I'm going to let Mr. Stahl elaborate on this a little bit, then I'll discuss it.
Yeah, I've circulated a memorandum to you in the packet. One of the things I'm required to do is keep council abreast of open records requests. You have a packet in there that shows just January. We provide information to the public regularly. We get 2-3 requests every month. It's not unusual to have 4 or 5 a month. In the last couple months, however, we've had a surge of those and much more detailed and more demanding on our time. Anything that's under $40, we provide an invoice for. And anything over that, we provide an estimate for to respond to. There are open records requests that involve personnel matters or legal matters or police investigation matters, all of which require the city attorney to become involved and require us to send material to the attorney general's office that is exempt.
That's not a decision, even though we know what is exempt. There are some things that are blanket exempt, but there are others that are not, that we have to send to the Attorney General's for their opinion. It's a matter of routine, but that has an expense. As of January 29th, to the 30 days ending that date, our legal expenses for open record requests are total $5,603.73. Our annual budget for the city's legal expenses, for all legal expenses, is $10,000. And I bring it to council's attention that as of today, we have been billed $12,781.23 for legal services, and half of that cost has been in responding to open records requests. It also has a substantive impact on staff time in doing the compiling and redacting and responding to those requests. This is really just to bring it to your attention. We will continue, of course, to always supply public information. There is, was asked, and I'm providing information here, that there is an opportunity that council sees this is an abuse of the process, that you can adopt policies and procedures to help curb that. It's not a substantial curb, it's more like a speed bump. It would say that the amount of time spent by the staff for an individual would be limited to 36 hours in a 12-month period, and that beyond that, we would be able then to invoice for the full cost of our materials and personnel time and overhead. That does not limit the amount of information that is made available. It just allows us to recoup our actual expenses once we exceed the 36 hours.
Mr. John, do you have anything?
No.
Mr. Wheeler?
No.
Citizens' comment? Anybody have anything? Mr. Gross?
Once again, Paul Gross, 111 East 4th Avenue. We'll talk about public information requests. One, they're mandated by the state. Legislation says that we have access to these records. There's ways to save money. We can do inspections. You just have to make the records available for us to come in and look at the records. You can burn it to a disk. Save the money on paper. There's ways of, you know, doing that. Even in legislation goes in there saying if it takes less than 2 hours to put the information together, we shouldn't be charged for it. Or if it's more than 5 hours of viewing, you know, there's limits for us there, under $40. That was another, you know, deal of cost. There's ways to do that. Some of the information I've asked for was when the city administrator was spying on my internet activities, my private time. And I've asked, you know, for those records, when are the times that he went on to city computers or servers and used that his time that we all pay him for as tax people to do another job, not to spy on citizens, for a private conversation, or a public conversation, you know, in a private matter. And I've asked for that information, but, you know, he'll send me information, but he doesn't send me all the information. I've seen where he goes in there, and I can show you. He pulls in information. I've asked him for all his times that he logged into a Facebook account or into a other account such as that. And the dates are kind of important here because he has one from November 26th, and there's no entries until December 18th. But I clearly have an email from him to all the city council members from when he went on to a website, Facebook, on the 10th, and then he responded to council on the 12th, and he never listed in the return that I asked for. He never gave me that information. He's required to. This shows that he went onto that computer. All the times that he showed me was after 4 p.m. when he's off. He didn't show me when he's on duty doing these searches. I talked earlier about, let me have all your policies and procedures about filing grievances. I was told there is none, and I got everything from him. I think I was pretty clear on that. I got this from the city police chief today. It's not a policy, it's not a procedure, but it's a guideline. He said there was nothing like this whatsoever. This is why we have public information requests. What are the procedures? Another one. I get this from him. This is why I started Facebook, Cup of Joe and Shore Acres. Please pass it around. It gives us an avenue to express our concerns within the city. This was from Dolly Ahrens to David Stahl, and other way back and forth. And her response was, oh, my God, What are, now, that was her response that we have a Facebook page talking about concerns of the city. What are they afraid of? Well, you see they redacted all this information on here. State law says I have the right to know what those redacted entries are. Okay? I asked him for a line-by-line item. What information was redacted? He responds back, there was no redacted. But it clearly has names and emails out. Not just the email, names and emails are gone. So he tells me he hasn't done that, but I clearly can show you here that he has. Okay? This is the information we're asking for. When I filed the grievance asking about unlawful practices, about election information when he's benefiting one candidate over another, those are violations of election laws. Okay? Frankly, you're just one rung in the ladder. There are people above this city, and they'll get the information. If I have to go to T-Close and get that information, like we had to do with Chief Massey, to find out if it was an unlicensed police officer.
We're off topic here.
Okay. Well, these are public information requests, and this is what that topic is.
This is not public information requests. This is explaining the financial obligation the city has.
Okay. But the
point, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I say it's public information requests, and so we can't limit our requests when there's wrongdoing or possible wrongdoing. You've got to be open to this. We have to be able to redress our grievances to government. We have to be the overwatchers of the people. We are citizens. We are not subjects. And we need this information. Like I said, I even this request here, I'm going to tell you, it told you how to do it. I even put on here, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, call me. I have never received a comment on one of these PIRs that I got from him. Hey, can we reduce this information? Three of the things he's fighting the Attorney General for, he doesn't want me to have his medical information. Don't need it. If you would have called me, forget it. Don't want your financial information. Don't want it. Forget it. He was fighting me about his criminal history. I want that. What is that criminal history? Why is he fighting me for it? Does the city know about it? That's the kind of stuff that the citizens need to know. If attorney, he wants to pay an attorney $12,000 to do this, find another attorney. There's no reason for him to write a boilerplate type report, which I have up here, from Gray, that he uses, if I can show you one after another, it's all the same thing, he changes a little bit right here, and he charges you $500 for it. Really? It's a template. And he mails it off. It costs first paid or first class postage. If the attorneys are robbing us, then we need to look at other means of getting that financial or that legal advice. But anyway, take that into consideration. We consider all PIRs. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ms. Wells.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. One of the reasons that a lot of the Freedom of Information Act are becoming more frequent is because we're not getting answers to our questions when we simply call the city and ask them in a timely manner. So my question to council is, so who is referring this to the Attorney General?
It's the city attorney.
Okay, so who is sending it to the city attorney?
I am.
That would be the city administrator.
The city secretary.
Oh, that's in your hat, city secretary. So, do you have a choice of whether you send that to the city, to the attorney general, or that you solve this yourself, or that you call the person and ask for clarification?
That information is required to be sent to the attorney general.
Mind you, the mayor basically does overlook and oversee certain things and aspects, but most all documents are required for him to go through the city attorney. That's protection for the city also.
I file Freedom of Information Act requests all the time, on a regular basis. And what I have found working with the city of Shore Acres is that you have to ask the exact right question before you will get an answer to your question. And having an employee that are employees that don't answer citizens' questions, I believe, is the problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Gross.
I would say the city can also elect to release that information without going through that process. Mm-hmm. That's also in legislation.
Anyone else? Mr. Victor.
I just want to add a little bit what Ms. Wells mentioned. Get more FOIA requests because there's too many things that are hidden. Now, when you selected the chief of police, that was a very open process. You probably didn't get one FOIA request on it. Now, more recently, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I asked by email to the mayor and to city administrator to add a couple line items in this new advisory group resolution. One was to for the city to provide a copy of the contract with the engineering firm and copies of any communications that goes back and forth between the city, engineering firm, grant administrator, other entities, so that the group, the advisory group, is in the chain of communications. That email went to the administrator and the mayor. Never got a response. So what's going to happen? When the advisory group is formed, whether I'm on it or not, I've never sent a FOIA request in years. I will send a FOIA request to you all asking for copies of all the documentation between the engineering firm, the city, the grant administrator, on, simply because it could have been alleviated by merely providing information up front. And I suspect it's not going to be. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address the council?